Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
All people should pay attention to the biblical standards of marriage. Seemingly, some do not even know they exist. So listen as I seek to bring them to you from Paul's writings to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 7:10-16. Have your Bible open there and follow me as I read. That's 1 Corinthians 7:10-16, and here is the Word of God. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou wilt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou wilt save thy wife? Now, friend, here the Apostle Paul gives us several serious considerations so we can understand how mutual responsibility works in marriage. First, we must consider the unchanging principle. Notice how the apostle begins his word in our text. He says, not I, but the Lord. And remember, a principle is a rule to go by. His principle comes from the Lord. Marriage is for life. So he said, let her not depart. That makes it clear, doesn't it? Marriage is to be a union of two people in all respects. That is a part of the problem today, because so many marriages do not realize that there is more than the physical involved. There is the emotional, the psychological, the spiritual. All these come together in a marriage relationship. Marriage is to be the union of two people in all aspects, body, soul, and spirit. You see, we're made that way. For a marriage to be successful, the partners must recognize this. Too often, consideration is given only to the physical. First consideration is the unchanging principle that marriage demands. The second consideration is the unfailing advice. The Apostle Paul, as I pointed out to you, started out by saying, not I, but the Lord. Now in verse 12 he said, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. So he is giving us his personal advice. Let's remember, Paul was a man of wisdom. When he spoke, people should listen. Well, when he speaks today, people should listen. We should heed his word. We should observe what he is telling us, and we should be careful to lay it to heart. So he is saying, keep the marriage union intact, even if one is not a believer. You notice how he puts that in verse 12? If a brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. This, I believe, is an existing condition. This brother in Corinth became a believer after they were married. but he has an unbelieving wife. What should he do? It is quite possible that the question came up for many. It appears to be an existing condition, I say. In other words, this man became a believer after the marriage, after the wedding. But I also notice his advice applies to both husband and wife. He is not to put her away. She is not to leave him, if he's not a believer. I was very much interested in noticing in my Greek New Testament that the advice is the same for both. So in verse 12, let him not put her away is like verse 13, let her not leave him. Now, probably the translators of the King James Version made that difference. Let her not leave him because of the situation. We gather, do not break up the marriage just because one is not a believer. Paul recognizes the permanence of marriage. He surely does not condone a Christian marrying an unbeliever. That is very clear, because in his second letter he says, have no fellowship with unbelievers. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So he is not condoning or suggesting the marriage of an unbeliever with a believer. But if the situation develops, as it apparently did in Corinth, that one becomes a Christian after the wedding, then that person is to be considerate and maintain, sustain the marriage. You must remember that these people in Corinth came out of paganism. They had not had the advantage of the Jewish teaching, which has a high concept of marriage. Therefore, the question arose, what should they do? It would be well for our people to hear Paul with his unfailing advice. If one is an unbeliever and is content to dwell with a believer, then let the believer not put away the unbeliever. That should be very clear to us. The apostle goes on to explain that the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, so that the children are legitimate children. This is quite clear, I think. The tense and grammar of this particular section would make it absolutely clear that this is a case of the unbelieving man or the unbelieving woman being sanctified. The marriage being sanctified by the one who is a Christian, the one who is a believer. So we must consider our second consideration, Paul's unfailing advice. Third, we must consider the unhappy separation. The Apostle Paul takes it all the way and says, if the unbeliever initiates a separation, then there's no recourse. If the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, which I believe means they're not like the slave, bought, marketed, and sold. Though it may bring sorrow, the believer should not give up faith to preserve the marriage. In other words, if the unbeliever demands that the believer give up his or her faith or else, then the or else must come. An experience with Jesus Christ is more precious than to maintain the marriage, as sorrowful as it may be. W. Harold Mayer, one of my seminary professors, has good counsel in the Expositor's Bible Commentary, Volume 10. I want to quote him. That's Volume 10, pages 230 and 231. I quote, dealing with the actual situation at Corinth, Paul realizes that in some instances the unbelieving marriage partner will not stay. So he teaches that in such an event, the believer must let the unbelieving partner go. If the unbeliever leaves, then let him do so. At this point, Paul adds two reasons. First, in this case, the believer is not bound, but the unbeliever, by willful desertion, has broken the marriage contract. The Greek perfect form of the verb is graphic. That is, the Christian brother or sister is not in a bound condition as a slave. A second reason for allowing an unbelieving partner to leave is that God has called his people to live in peace, which would not be possible if the unbelieving partner were forced to live with the believer. Try to live with the unbelieving partner in the peace that God gives. Do not attempt to force the unbeliever to stay. The force of verse 16 tempers any tendency to foster or encourage a rupture in the marriage. For Paul is teaching that the believer is to try to keep the mixed marriage together in the hope that the testimony of the believer will be used by God to bring the unbeliever to Christ. The factual condition of verse 16 suggests there's a good hope that God in his providence will do just that. End of quote. Thank you, Dr. Mayer, for those fine words of counsel. We therefore learn that marriage has mutual responsibility for the husband and for the wife. Reflect again on the considerations which I pointed out to you that Paul brings to us. The unchanging principle in total union. The unfailing advice to hold the marriage together. The unhappy separation which leaves the unbeliever outside. Surely we should do all we can to hold the marriage together. This, I believe, is proper and right. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I have dealt with a very delicate subject, which the Bible is clear on. I believe the Apostle Paul has helped us to understand how marriage carries a mutual responsibility for husband and wife. So I pray, Lord, that my friend who is listening may be encouraged, and that together we will discern and follow the word and will of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friend, I hope that message was beneficial for you in your walk with the Lord. And thank you, Dr. Yoder, for giving us those clear, practical guidelines on how we ought to live within the marriage relationship. Now, I admit, following those guidelines may not always be easy, but the rewards will be worth any cost involved. Now, I know there are many different ideas in our world about marriage, even among those who call themselves Christians. And maybe you heard something about marriage here on this program that raised a question in your mind, and you'd like an answer from the Bible. Or maybe you'd like us to pray for you because you're already in the kind of marriage Dr. Yoder talked about on today's program. Maybe you just want to write and let us know you're listening. Whatever the reason, we'd be delighted to receive your letter or email. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your question or prayer request or comment by the email link that's provided there. Once again, that mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. The mailing address, once more, is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Now you be sure to join us again next week as Dr. Yoder opens the Word and teaches us from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 with further instruction on marriage. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.